Our Father in heaven, the great Almighty God, we thank you for the joy of coming together in your very presence to worship you. We know that it is your love that has first drawn us to yourself, and we thank you for forgiveness, cleansing through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that we can come before your presence now as your children to worship you, to express our love for you, our gratitude toward you, to draw near to you and to be strengthened and be refreshed by your Spirit. And we pray that you have the freedom to speak to us, to renew our minds, to strengthen our resolve to be true to you. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 149th message. The subtopic for today, being accurate, wholesome, and objective. Being accurate, wholesome, and objective. We have been considering the meaning and implications of the posture of God and truth. There are many implications when we align our heart with the posture of God and truth. Two of them are, one, we will seek to have an accurate and wholesome understanding of the truth and our knowledge of God. Two, we will learn to be accurate, wholesome, and objective. One and two are related. And today I want to concentrate on the second point. Let us now briefly look at some passages we have referred to in our consideration of the subject of God and truth with reference to what we are considering today. Let's first look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 25. By now, these words should be very familiar to us, the words of the Lord Jesus. Verse 24 of Matthew chapter 7, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. These are important words of the Lord Jesus that we must pay heed to. If we want like the wise man who built his house on the rock, then we must hear his words and also act on them. The wise man hears and acts on what he understands the Lord has communicated. But then it is crucial that he must understand accurately, in a wholesome manner, what the Lord is trying to say and what the Lord has communicated. If his understanding is defective, if it is not accurate and wholesome, he will not be truly acting on the words of the Lord, even if he thinks he is, and even if he's sincere, even if he tries. So understanding the words of the Lord accurately in a wholesome manner is very important. If our understanding is defective, inaccurate, it can at times be quite disastrous, especially if we are serious and we act on it. And let us bear in mind, the evil one is actively at work in this area to distort, to deceive, and to lead us astray. And if you read through the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, you will find that there are many warnings against false teaching and being led astray. And over the centuries, throughout church history, and including today, millions are led astray by false teaching. At times very seriously, but in many ways, believers are affected in different aspects of their understanding of the truth. But not just for our own understanding and how it affects our lives. In relation to our communication with others, our desire to be helpful to them, even if you are sincere, we try to help others. But if what we communicate to others is not wholesome and accurate, it also may not help them. It may not help them to build their house on the rock. Instead, it may result in their building their house on the sand. And we may have contributed to that. Let's turn to another familiar passage that we have been referring to. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Again, this passage, the words that we are to concentrate on are the words of the Lord Jesus. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." These words are very meaningful. We have reflected on them at some length in an earlier message. And it's wonderful if we can truly enter into the freedom that God desires for each one of us. And we can experience this life of freedom in the truth. We must know the truth. And in the context here, we have considered, it is not just understanding, but the knowledge of the truth here is continuing in his word. That is, we have understood, absorbed it, lived by it, and we are walking in the truth. In that way, we will experience the freedom in the truth. This is also related to verse 36. If the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. True freedom is in the Lord, and it goes together with freedom in the truth. They go together. The Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. However, this life of freedom in the truth that we so much long for must involve an accurate, wholesome appreciation of the truth and then absorption of this truth and then living accordingly. So an accurate, wholesome understanding, appreciation, absorption, and living out of the truth is extremely important. We must have an accurate, wholesome understanding of the truth, and then after that, we must absorb it. So first for our own lives, and then also if we want to have a positive impact on the lives of others, we must also communicate the truth to others accurately and wholesomely. Then they too can experience the true freedom in the Lord. And that's what should be the longing of our hearts for others. And we can help them to enter into the freedom in the Lord. If we can help them to appreciate the truth accurately, wholesomely, and then also encourage them to live it out. Let's turn to another verse, this time the epistle of the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, "In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following." This is also a very helpful verse for us to memorize, or at least to be very clear about the meaning and appreciating it. And it should be something very precious for us throughout our lives on earth. Constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine. This is spiritual nourishment. If we want to be a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to be constantly nourished on the words of the faith and the sound doctrine. Spiritual nourishment. But notice, this spiritual nourishment is grounded in sound doctrine. And the context makes it even clearer and stronger to us. Look at the context from verse 1. It's a warning against wrong teaching, false teaching, doctrine of demons. Chapter 4, verse 1, where the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And many have indeed been afflicted, adversely affected by doctrines of demons. That is, doctrines, what they believe in, but it has been tainted, distorted by evil spirits. And the verses that follow is an elaboration on this issue. And then, verse 6, Paul said, in pointing out these things to the brethren, that is, in contrast to this issue, this warning against the false teaching, the doctrines of demons, Paul said, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. So sound doctrine, accurate, wholesome understanding of the truth is extremely important, and it can nourish us, build us up, if the attitudes of our heart are good and we absorb it and become a part of our lives. And we constantly reflect on the truth, the implications for our lives. In that way, our lives will be built up. As we do so in God's presence, in fellowship with God, the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts as well as renew our minds. And we will grow and become increasingly conformed to the character of God and learn the ways of God and how to walk with God. Let's now turn to another key verse in the scriptures, which I've also referred to you from time to time, including in recent messages. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 2, Paul wrote, let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. So Paul, in his own mind, in his consciousness, an aspect that grips him, that means a lot to him, is the issue of being a servant of Christ and how to be a true servant of Christ. And in relation to being a servant of Christ, at the heart of it, Paul regards it extremely important that he's a steward of the mysteries of God, which we have reflected upon, that this has to do with Paul's appreciation of the mystery, what has been in the heart of God regards to the fulfillment, the working of his purposes, at the very heart of what God is concerned about when he created man. And Paul wants to faithfully communicate all that he has come to appreciate of what God has revealed in relation to his intentions for men, especially what he intends for us in Christ and how God's purposes can be fulfilled. And in this regard, Paul says a very key issue is to be trustworthy. I'll reflect with you on two aspects. One is being trustworthy. Trustworthy relates to our character, but also to be a trustworthy of the mysteries of God also has this element of being faithful, reliable. And to be faithful and reliable goes beyond just whether you're an honest person and that you don't tell lies. You may be honest, but you may still not be reliable if, in fact, you do not understand the truth accurately, wholesomely, and then what you communicate is not wholesome truth. In fact, it is wrong, it's error. Then you are not reliable in what you have communicated. And if in your life there are so many things that you understand, they are not sound, then you are not reliable in a very important issue. And that is the communication of the truth. And so what you say, your credibility, your reliability, your faithfulness, your trustworthiness in relation to the faithful communication of the truth is in question. You cannot then be a faithful, trustworthy steward of the mysteries of God. But actually, to be trustworthy servant of the Lord in general, as we will see subsequently, goes beyond just accurate, wholesome appreciation of the truth, but also being accurate, wholesome, and objective in other ways. Shortly, we'll come to that. In a broader sense, to be trustworthy, reliable, and faithful servant of the Lord, it is important we seek to be accurate, wholesome, objective, and then and what we say is reliable. But in relation to this immediate context of being trustworthy stewards of the mysteries of God, we must seek to have an accurate, wholesome understanding of the mysteries of God, and then also to be careful in faithfully communicating the truth in an accurate and wholesome manner. And we must bear in mind this is very important because it's going to affect the lives of people. For those who hear, and they are earnest, they absorb, and then they're going to work it out. So if what we communicate is unwholesome, and especially if it is wrong in important aspects, it can very seriously, adversely affect the lives of others. In one sense, we can see the first three passages we looked at today prepares us for this fourth passage on being a trustworthy steward of the mysteries of God. Because first we need to hear the words of the Lord Jesus, absorb them, act upon them, become a part of our lives, then we can be a faithful, effective steward of the mysteries of God. Similarly, in John chapter 8, we must first know the truth for ourselves and know the freedom in the Lord, then the effective communication of the truth in a wholesome manner can become real in us. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6, we must be nourished, built up on the sound doctrine, and then we can be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God. Let us now look at an important verse in the scriptures where the Lord Jesus tells us what we should aim to be, the direction of our lives, and that is to be like God, especially in his character and the moral and spiritual qualities of his being. Matthew chapter 5 verse 48. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. To be like God, especially in his character and in the moral and spiritual qualities of the being of God. Although we are very far short of God's perfection, we must learn to become more and more like him. This must be a very major primary motivation of our hearts every day, a longing to be conformed to his character. This is at the heart of being conformed to the image of Christ. And if we want to move in that direction, an important point to take note is that God himself, God, is objective, accurate, and wholesome. The perfect God knows everything, and he sees everything accurately and in a wholesome manner. This includes not only his knowledge of truth, principles, and so on, but also his knowledge of people and situations and issues. God is also objective, accurate, and wholesome in what he says. Whenever he speaks, it is always accurate and wholesome. And God is never clouded by subjective feelings or anything defective in his being and character. If we want to learn to become more and more like God, then we need to pay attention to who is this God? What is he like? These qualities in the being of God are reflected in the way he responds to situations and people. Grounded in his accurate, wholesome understanding of issues, of people, of situations, then the other is the whole way he communicates is also always accurate and wholesome. And these aspects in the being of God and also the way he responds to issues and situations have a direct bearing on our confidence in him, our faith in him, and our submission to him. Because we know he's reliable, he's trustworthy, absolutely. He's always accurate and wholesome whenever he speaks. So we can act on what he says. And it's proper confidence. It's no point having confidence in someone, but that confidence is misplaced. The confidence in someone is meaningful only when there's a proper basis and we can be absolutely confident in God. Trust Him. Act on what He says because God is absolutely reliable. So when He speaks, we can listen, absorb, submit to Him, including all that He has revealed in the Scriptures, what He seeks to teach us, to communicate to us in the Scriptures. We can have absolute confidence if we understand accurately what He desires to communicate. The other is what God speaks to us, His guidance, what He has to say to us at a personal level every day. Why we seek God's guidance, why we pray to Him to guide us, is because He's absolutely reliable. But not only at a personal level, also at a corporate level, as we look to Him together in church life. So to be like God, conform to His character and the image of Christ, if you want to have deep fellowship with God, to be increasingly one with Him, and to be faithful to Him, we must learn to be accurate, wholesome, and objective. I'll just briefly elaborate on this sentence. If we want to be like God, because God is accurate, wholesome, objective, then we must also learn to be accurate, wholesome, and objective. If we want to have deep fellowship with God, then because God is accurate, wholesome, objective, if we are not, it will affect the depth of fellowship we can have with Him. If we want to be increasingly one with Him, then we must also learn more and more to be accurate, wholesome, and objective, especially in major issues, issues of importance. If we want to be faithful to Him, to faithfully represent Him, faithfully communicate what He has communicated, then we must also learn to be accurate, wholesome, and objective. So these are important issues, not minor things. I now want to go on to consider with you learning to be objective, accurate, and wholesome. Learning to be accurate, objective, wholesome is an integral part of the posture of God and truth. I want to elaborate on this subject. As we seek to move in this direction, recognizing is an integral part of the posture of God and truth, and also a good response to God's call, the two move in the same direction, then we must recognize, as we have seen just now in the verses we referred to, that it will involve an accurate and wholesome understanding of the truth, and not only stopping at understanding, but also absorption of the truth, and then the manifestation of the truth in our lives. That is, we cannot say we are aligning our heart with the posture of God and truth, and yet we do not want to seek, or we do not seek to be accurate, wholesome, and objective. We say that is not important. Or we may pay lip service to it. Yes, it's important, but we do not set our hearts to make progress in this area. We do not pay attention. Then it contradicts the affirmation that we are aligning our heart with the posture of God and truth. As I mentioned just now, what the perfect God has revealed in the Scriptures and what He wants to teach us in the Scriptures is truth and is always accurate and wholesome. And what is now important for us is to concentrate on proper interpretation, then reception, and then application of the truths revealed in the Scriptures. The truths in the Scriptures may be wholesome, accurate, extremely important, but if we do not interpret it accurately in a wholesome way, then we may say that we are seeking to live out what God has revealed in the Scriptures, but in reality, we will not be, and our lives can still end in a big mess. And we can go far astray from God. To walk in truth is to walk as we ought, as we ought, not from the angle of the people of the world, but in the absolute sense, and that is the appropriate response to God, to people, to situations, what befits God's children in God's kingdom. Yes, people in the world may not agree, but if we want to live in the way God desires of us and what is appropriate in God's kingdom, how to respond to people, to situations, and how to respond to God, to walk in that way is to walk in truth. And this must include a wholesome, accurate understanding of God, the scriptures, people, and situations. Otherwise, our lives can be distorted and our conduct improper, and at times it can be seriously wrong and displeasing to God. So I want to go on to highlight some of the areas we must pay attention to. We must pay due attention to the following areas. Due attention meaning what is appropriate, sufficient attention. If we want to learn to be like the Lord, if we want to walk in fellowship with Him, then we must pay sufficient attention to the following areas. And in my observation, many believers do not pay sufficient attention. I say sufficient attention because it doesn't necessarily mean that believers do not pay attention at all, but do we pay adequate attention, sufficient attention, due attention? So the first aspect we need to bear in mind is we must seek to be objective, accurate, and wholesome in the way we understand things. First, understanding. And this includes our knowledge of God and His ways, what God has revealed in the scriptures. But beyond that, we must also seek to be accurate and wholesome in the way we understand ourselves, the way we understand other people, the way we understand situations, and then also how God wants His children to work out His purposes. We want to participate in the outworking of God's purposes, and we want to fulfill our part well. How can we do so? A very important aspect is first to understand. Understand accurately, wholesomely, how God wants us to work out His purposes. And then we must also seek to be objective, accurate, and wholesome in the way we apply the truth in our own lives. We understand, then we must then apply. Accurate, wholesome understanding must be followed by accurate, wholesome application. First, in our own lives, how we respond to God, how we grow, how we nurture our relationship with God, how we develop our lives. And then also, what we say and what we communicate, we must pay attention to this aspect. What comes forth from our mouth? Do we pay attention to the issue of accuracy, wholesomeness? Or we are quite careless about it. Then the issue of response. How we respond to people and to situations. First, we need to understand people and situations accurately, wholesomely, and then to respond in a wholesome manner. I mentioned about understanding how God wants us to work out His purposes. That understanding will also be followed by how we actually serve the Lord and how we participate in God's work. How we work out together in church life. And then also in practical working, that we do pay due attention to this aspect during Bible study, our own study, as well as when we come together. We must make an attempt, conscious attempt, to be accurate, to be wholesome, and not say it doesn't matter. It matters. And hopefully what I sought to communicate today may impress deeply in your hearts that it is very clear. It is important. However, I want to make one qualification. Be careful not to go to the other extreme and pick on words or what people term as splitting hairs, which can hinder communication fruitful discussion and true fellowship. However, I don't think it's adequate just to say this, because it's important to ask this question. What is the difference between learning to be and exercising care in being objective, accurate and wholesome, which is important, and picking on words and splitting hairs, which is undesirable? What is the difference? It's helpful and it's important to distinguish the two. The former, that is positive, is learning to be and exercising care in being objective, accurate and wholesome so that it can help us to walk in the truth and to be faithful to God. The latter, which is not good, is making fine and unnecessary distinctions and argument over words that do not help and contribute towards a more accurate, wholesome understanding and appreciation of the truth in a manner helpful for our walk with the Lord and being true and faithful to Him. So you see, at the heart of it has to do with, are we exercising care to be accurate and wholesome in a manner that will help us to grasp the truth in order to be faithful to God? Or we are just arguing over words and making fine, and the key issue is unnecessary distinctions, in a way that doesn't really help us in our walk with God, our appreciation of the truth and our service to Him? That we should avoid. So refrain from picking on words and splitting hairs, but also be careful not to falsely accuse others of doing so. Be a bit slow to accuse others that they are picking on words or splitting hairs, and sometimes we do that because we have failed in being accurate, objective and wholesome, and it's being exposed either in the midst of discussion, and not necessarily the person is trying to humiliate us or embarrass us, but in the midst of discussion, seeking to be more accurate and wholesome, the issues are being discussed that way, and we find that what we have said is not so accurate, not so wholesome. And then we respond that way, oh, you're just splitting hairs, you're just picking on my words. But in reality, we have not been accurate, we have not been wholesome, and we should appreciate if others can help us to be more accurate and wholesome, because it helps us in our walk with God, in our understanding, our grasp of the truth, and how to live well. And sometimes we do that, falsely accusing others in that way, because we want to justify ourselves. So we say, oh, you're just picking on words, you're just splitting hairs. And sometimes we justify ourselves, and you can say that's being defensive, and sometimes people being defensive by attacking. We must refrain from that. It is not right to do that. I'll now just quickly refer to a few messages and scriptures that this area may become clearer and also impress upon us that the scriptures do address this subject and also the importance of the issues we are discussing here. Let's pay heed to the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. Let's turn to this passage. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 3 to 5. Paul wrote to Timothy, "If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain." So here we see quite clearly, Paul uses strong words and he's addressing an area, an issue that he's concerned about. And this is something negative. The whole passage here, verses 3 to 5, addresses an area that is negative. He begins by, if anyone advocates a different doctrine, so we know straight away it's unsound, does not agree with sound words. It's unsound, it's no good. Those of our Lord Jesus Christ in the doctrine conforming to godliness, it doesn't help. in the direction of true godliness. So he says, this person is conceited, he understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words. Now this is what we need to guard against. Not just entering into a lot of controversy over various issues and disputing about words, especially with a negative attitude, wrong spirit, and in the end moving in directions that is not helpful, that does not promote godliness. And this can result in envy, strife, and so on. That's not helpful for relationship, for fellowship, for building up one another. So there is such a thing as not only wasting time, but negative preoccupation with just arguing over various issues that doesn't help. Now here Paul is talking about in strong terms, this may say a bit more extreme kind of situations, but the principle, we can apply it also, even in the gathering of believers who seek to learn together, but you're not careful. Sometimes negative attitude comes in, you just argue over issues that do not help, that doesn't promote godliness, doesn't help us to grow in our knowledge of the truth and of the Lord, but instead give rise to envy, strife, and so on. Controversy over issues that do not help anybody. Paul also urges us to refrain from and avoid fruitless discussion. In the same epistle to Timothy, the first chapter, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6. For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion. So these are words that are helpful for us to remember. Fruitless discussion. Pointless. It doesn't bear good fruit. It's useless. And just the preceding verse is what ought to be. Verse 5. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. In contrast, for some men straying from these things. So the direction should be love from a pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith. We are seeking to build up one another in love. But don't stray from this. And there are those who stray from this, they turn aside to fruitless discussion. This contrary, opposite of what builds up. And verse 7 is also helpful for us to take note of. You see, these are people also wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. And if you pause and consider, reflect upon it, you'll realize that there are many, even in Christian circles, who do indulge in this aspect of verse 7. And we must be careful not to fail in this area. That is, saying things or matters about which they make confident assertions, even though they do not understand. Verse 7. They want to be teachers of the law. So project yourself as if you're so able in your understanding and so on. Even though, Paul says, they do not understand either what they're saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. So be careful. Of course, these are more extreme cases, but for us, let us also be exercise care that we not violate this principle. We make confident assertions, we say this, we say that, but actually we do not even understand what we are talking about. Don't too quickly think. We never fail in this area. We might at times fail in this area, and it's not good. So be more measured in our words. What we say, what we communicate, especially when we're discussing truth, Christian principles, and so on. And issues that matter to our lives. And not just talking about verses in the scriptures, although that is extremely important, but also in various things that we talk about that are important, that affect people's lives, comments about various things. Let us exercise care. It doesn't mean that everything we say, we must be so hesitant. I think so, maybe it is like that, I hope so. No, there are things which we know. That God is a God of love, He's a perfect God. No, I hope so, that God is perfect. I think He cares for men. I think He sent Christ to die for the sins of the world. I hope so. Definitely, we cannot put it that way, if indeed in our hearts we believe very clearly God is perfect, He loves us, He cares for us, He has sent Christ, who has paid the price for our sins. But in many other areas that we are not clear, not sure, then don't assert confidently, it is not right, it is not good. Then Paul also tells us that it is not useful to wrangle about words which lead to the ruin of hearers. 2 Timothy 2 verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 14. Paul, again, writing to Timothy, he wrote to Timothy, remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. On the one hand, Paul is very concerned about the truth, accurate, wholesome understanding, and he has much to communicate, and he has written many epistles that are very rich in meaning, and he wants us to pay a lot of attention to what he has communicated. But at the same time, he also warns us that there's such a thing as wrangling about words which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. And in contrast to that, verse 15, what ought to be? Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. This is a very important verse for us to take note. If you can, memorize it. Be very conscious of it, that you live by it. We want to be approved by God. It requires diligence. And one important aspect is to learn to accurately handle the word of truth. So accurate, wholesome understanding of the truth, and then how we communicate it to others. Sometimes this verse is used to refer to the scriptures. Actually, in this context, this verse is not directly talking about the scriptures, the word of truth. It's not, the scripture is not equivalent to the word of truth, but yes, the word of truth at the heart of it has to do with what God wants to communicate to us, the message, the good news. And yes, what God has communicated in the scriptures is a very major primary source of our understanding of the truth, what God wants to communicate in His heart to us. So understanding the scriptures properly, accurately, yes, we can use this verse in principle, but it's not limited just to the scriptures. It's the way we handle the word of truth. We may not be directly quoting the scriptures, but we are talking about truth, spiritual truth, truth that God has communicated, revealed to us in our discussion, in the way we communicate. We must exercise care to be accurate, wholesome. Then it will have, or to recognize, it will have a direct bearing on God's approval of our lives. It's very important. Truth is very important because it directly affects people's lives. So we need to exercise great care, especially in areas that have implications. Some areas are more important than others. So to be accurate and wholesome in our understanding and the communication of our understanding of God, as well as the truth in the scriptures, it should include the following two major aspects I want to bring to attention, which we have in some sense already covered, but to summarize it in terms of its practical outworking. One aspect has to do with not overemphasizing any aspect and failure to balance it by taking into consideration other aspects. This relates to our understanding of and communication of our understanding of God, as well as our understanding of the scriptures and how we communicate our understanding of the scriptures. Not overemphasizing any aspect and failure to balance it by taking into consideration other aspects. For example, we may be very impressed
with God and His love and His kindness and His patience, which is important. Grasp it well, communicate it in the right context, in the right way, very important. But even such a wonderful truth can become overemphasized if we are not careful. We must bear in mind not to overemphasize God's love, kindness, and patience in a way that does not sufficiently bear in mind, balanced up with God's holiness, His disciplining hand, and the wrath of God. And sometimes people talk as if God will be God's love and God's kindness, it will not fail, so it will keep coming no matter who you are, no matter what you are, no matter what you are doing. If we are not careful and it comes through like that, then it is not being accurate nor wholesome. Yes, God in His being, He will always remain a God of love in all situations and no matter who you are. But it is possible to talk about God's love in a way that is not wholesome, in a way that people can misunderstand, because God is also a consuming fire. And God also does discipline His children. God also does punish wrongdoers. Likewise, over the years, a very important aspect that we have sought to emphasize, hopefully not overemphasize, is to warn against overemphasizing the sovereignty of God without proper consideration of man's responsibility, and also the other way around, overemphasizing man's responsibility without a proper, sufficient appreciation of the sovereignty of God, and that the two must come together in a very wholesome, balanced way. If you overemphasize one, the other will not be balanced. And if you overemphasize both, of course, it cannot be reconciled. So there's a need to have a proper appreciation of the two, and not just simply just trying to balance it. The balance must be the biblical balance. What is the biblical balance? Very important. Another aspect that's important for us to bear in mind in our approach to the scriptures is to be careful not to concentrate on the words of a particular verse or passage without sufficient consideration of other verses and passages, so that we can arrive at a wholesome understanding of what the scriptures teaches on that issue or on that subject. And this is a very common error. People say, this is the scriptures, so whatever it reveals is true, is reliable. So this verse says this, this passage says this. Absorb, apply, work it out. But yes, what the scriptures teaches is always wholesome, accurate, and must be absorbed and applied. But if you're not careful, you just look at a verse or a passage without sufficient consideration of other passages, other verses, it may not be accurate. We have looked at several examples on this point in earlier messages. For example, I have referred to verses like Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given to you. You overemphasize on that verse, you keep on looking at that verse, it's ask and it shall be given to you. And this in relation to answers to prayer. Then you can give the wrong idea that whatever you ask, God will give. Ask and it shall be given to you. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Well, ask maybe not enough, just ask and believe and you will receive. Well, I will not elaborate now. This is not the only verse we refer to, but the need to exercise care. Otherwise, we can arrive at a wrong understanding and it can have very serious implications, adverse implications. And many Christians do falter in this area, in their own reading, absorption, application of scriptures, as well as from what they hear. And in this regard, those who preach and teach will face a stricter judgment, as James tells us. Teachers will face a stricter judgment, because if they're not careful, not accurate, then it can affect, influence many lives adversely. And in this regard, just a brief comment. I've often emphasized regards to our appreciation of scriptures, we recognize scriptures extremely important. A proper due regard for the scriptures cannot be just concentrating on certain passages, certain verses, or reading again and again certain books which are your favorite books. Yes, you can have your favorite books. You can also have your favorite verses and passages. Nothing wrong with that. But make sure you must understand this point. What is critical is what the scriptures teaches on any issue, any subject, not what a particular verse or passage seem to indicate. And so, substantial reading through of the whole Bible again and again and again throughout our lives is extremely important, so that we know the verses, passages in its context, as well as various verses, passages to balance our understanding of any issue or subject. That is critical. It's also important for us to ask the Lord to help us not only to have an accurate understanding of scriptures, of people, of situations, but also to have an objective and accurate understanding of ourselves. Let us turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul wrote, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." And helpful to bear in mind the context here. The context, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the context is consecration of our lives to God as a living sacrifice. If indeed you are sincere and you have truly consecrated your lives to God as a living sacrifice, Paul straightaway, in verse 3, talks about this issue of not thinking more highly of oneself than one ought, but to think so as to have sound judgment. It tells us true consecration to God and offering our lives as a living sacrifice, an important issue to bear in mind is to have an accurate understanding of ourselves. Paul warns us against thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, and this is a tendency. Men generally tend in this direction to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, and this is also often associated with pride. And we don't like this word pride. We want to run away from it, but it's good to recognize this area of pride is a bad problematic thing. It's no good. We want to be free from pride, yes, but to recognize also in many, many different forms. Many of us, including God's children, many of us do have this problem. And it is not necessarily the same in everyone. Some of us may not be proud in certain aspects, but certain areas, and it can be in subtle forms. Often, we may not even be very conscious of it. And if we are not conscious of it, and there are opportunities in which God can help us to recognize, be very thankful. Because it's only when you recognize it that you can deal with it, and then you will make progress. And pride significantly hinders our relationship with God, making good progress as well as service. So it's very helpful if we can recognize in any form pride is present in our lives, and to deal with it. It's very important not to deny it or fail to recognize it. Pride hinders our walk with God, hinders our development, hinders our relationship with others, and also hinders service. However, Paul in this verse also, at the same time, tells us that thinking too lowly of ourselves is also not something to be encouraged. And sometimes we wrongly think that this is humility. No, to think of ourselves too lowly of ourselves, then the objective truth is not humility, it's failure to be accurate. This reminds me, Sometimes people may tell us, oh, what you shared is very meaningful, or what you've done is something meaningful that they appreciate. Some may be proud to think, oh, you appreciate that much. There's much more you haven't truly appreciated. You've only appreciated a fraction of it. We may be quite proud. But on the other hand, there may be those who say, oh, no. It's nothing good at all. I've not done anything good. Nothing meaningful. And we think that is humility. Of course, there are those who say that, but in their hearts they think, oh, you've only said half of it. But outwardly they say that. But even if in our hearts we mean it and we say it, is that humility? And is that really pleasing to God? No. We shouldn't be proud. But if God has done something in our lives, has helped us to do something of value, of meaning, let's thank God that He has done this, His work of grace in our hearts. And to deny is to deny God's gracious working in our hearts. That is not true humility. But don't be proud. I have done it. I have accomplished it. Look at me, what I've done. That is pride. Of course, pride, there are many other forms. But we can properly appreciate God's gracious working in our hearts and in our lives. There is something meaningful, and we are thankful to God that in spite of our frailties, our weaknesses, we have been slow to learn, but God has been patient. He has helped us. And we are so glad that something of meaning can proceed from our lives, that can touch the hearts of others. If indeed it is true, then we rejoice that it has taken place. So Paul says, don't think too highly of yourself, but at the same time he says, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. Which means also not to think too lowly of ourselves. Have sound judgment. That is, we must seek to have an objective, accurate, and wholesome understanding of ourselves. That is helpful. Not all the time keep on examining ourselves, but there is a place as we walk with the Lord to try to understand where are we in our walk with God. What are the areas we've been learning and we need to pay more attention to? What are the areas that are lacking, deficient? And a sober understanding, an accurate understanding of ourselves is helpful in our relationship with God as well as to make further progress. It also helps us to be more stable and in a better position to relate with others as well as effective service. When we understand ourselves more accurately, it helps us to also have a more accurate understanding of what we are ready for and what we are not ready for. What we are not ready for, we do not understand, we don't have accurate understanding, and then we plunge into things we are not ready for, it can ruin our lives. At the same time, there are things that God may want us to participate in, to work at. But if we think too lowly of ourselves, and then we think we are not ready, and we can't, and then we hold back, and we refrain, is that pleasing to God? Does that honor Him? Is that helpful? No. So a sober, accurate understanding of ourselves and also what God wants us to participate in what form, is very helpful. I think I have to stop here for today. Bear in mind, although I intended in my preparation to try to cover this message, this is one message, but I have not been able to. There's quite a bit more. So bear in mind, this is not the whole message yet on this subject. The Lord willing, I'll continue on this subject, the next message. In the meantime, continue to reflect on the importance of being accurate, wholesome, objective. Are we? In what way we can improve? What are the areas we need to pay attention to? So that we can grow in our conformity to the image of Christ, handling accurately the word of truth, appreciation of what God has revealed in the scriptures in an accurate, wholesome manner, absorption, and then outworking, as well as how we communicate the truth to others accurately, wholesomely. Let us now prepare our hearts to partake the Lord's Supper. Let us draw near to the Lord, ask the Lord to help us to have an accurate, wholesome understanding of Him, the truth He has revealed in the Scriptures, a deeper appreciation of the Lord Jesus, what He has accomplished at the cross, a sober, accurate understanding of ourselves, including if there are areas in our lives that are not right, that God may have the freedom to speak to us so that we can take steps to improve, to change. Areas that the Lord has been teaching us, that we can pay more attention to, deepen and make better progress. Our working out together in church life, how we can encourage one another to respond well to God's call and to what He has revealed in the Scriptures. How we can study the Scriptures together, whether in small groups or together, in our times together on Wednesdays. How we can discuss issues together in a way that will help us in the direction of a more accurate and wholesome understanding of the truth and the implications for our working. Our Father in Heaven, we thank You for Your deep love for each one of us, and also together as Your people. Thank You especially for the Lord Jesus Christ, for sending Him into this world, and also Your intentions for us in Him. Thank You for all that was accomplished at the cross, the death as well as the resurrection of Christ, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the Scriptures. And we pray that You help each one of us, and also together as Your people, we may know how to constantly be nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine revealed in the Scriptures. Help us that we may have an accurate, wholesome appreciation, understanding of You and Your ways, that we may know what it means to truly love You and walk with You in truth, that the truth may set us free. Thank You for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. You ask for Your blessings on the bread and wine, and we ask that You will wash away our sins, that we may not partake in an unworthy manner. Help us to recognize areas in our lives that are not wholesome, areas in our lives that needs to be corrected, and also any areas of truth that we have not appreciated in a wholesome manner, any aspects that are distorted. Help us to recognize these things so that we may correct them accordingly. The Spirit of Truth will guide us and teach us, and together we may know how to honor You and be effective, faithful servants of the Lord. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.